Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Welcome to the program. We're going to find out very soon, maybe today, if Rex Tillerson is our new Secretary of State, former head of Exxon, which that shouldn't be a problem for anybody on the left. My problem is he received the highest non-citizen award that Russia can give out as a friend of Russia. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. But I also want to talk to you a little bit about Christmas. Christmas, for a lot of people, is the best time of the year. Sometimes it is the hardest time of the year. Max Lucado, friend of the show, has written a new book, Because of Bethlehem. We talk to him right now.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we are one. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
Max Lucado is a pastor in San Antonio and an author. 120 million books sold, and people are still reading. Max Lucado has a new book called Because of Bethlehem, and also the Because of Bethlehem Christmas coloring book, which I think is fantastic. Pat had never even heard of an adult coloring book and has all of the typical questions that I had when I first found out that we were making coloring books for adults, but now I love them. Max is here with us now. Max, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm great. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for letting me be on your program.
You bet. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Christmas from the eyes of people that don't necessarily find this the most wonderful time of the year. I know people who I would generally consider happy people, and I got an email from one of them the other day, said, Christmas is the worst time of the year for me. It is so hard, and some of it is based on things that happen, and some of them is based on missed opportunities. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, and as a pastor, I meet people like that quite often. In between church services, likely someone will come up and say, you know, this is really a tough December for me. And when I ask why or explore why, oftentimes it's something that happened this year. So this is the first Christmas since this, you know, the funeral, the first Christmas since the divorce, or the first Christmas since the job layoff. And so what they would expect to be a happy season feels even heavier. And you're absolutely right. For some people, Christmas is a reminder of what they never received, and they assume or feel that everyone else did. Maybe a healthy family or wonderful parents or a great childhood. And so Christmas can be a reminder to them of pain, and consequently they just kind of slug through December and try to get it over with.
And if you don't have a good family, or if you particularly people who didn't have a good dad, you know, how do I look at, you know, God as a father and a loving father when I don't even know what that even means?
Yeah.
You know?
And it requires some pretty exact discipline on the part of somebody whose father was anything but a father. And when they read in the Bible that God is our heavenly father, and that conjures up images of betrayal or abuse or abandonment, it's difficult. But I have discovered this, Glenn, that there are those who say, you know, I'm going to envision the perfect father. And I'm not going to blame God for my father's failure, my earthly father, or biological father's failure, but I'm going to trust God that he can reveal to me the image of the perfect father. And I'm going to let Scripture, let the stories of the Bible tell me who my heavenly father is. And some of the people I know who have the most vibrant faith are those who have discovered that God can be the perfect father to them. And they make that, it's kind of a mental switch. They say, okay, I wasn't, for whatever reason, blessed with a good earthly dad, but I'm not going to let that slow me down. That is what it is. I'm going to press into God, and I'm going to see what Scripture says about the kind of father he is, and I'm going to begin relating to him in that fashion.
I will tell you that Pat said to me at one point to consider, he said, it'll change your life. Consider God an actual dad. Envision him as an actual dad. And I have, now when I read scriptures, I know how I'm supposed to be a dad because I can see him as a dad. I can see how he is as a parent. He doesn't put up with crap after a long, 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 long fuse, but he never punishes in a bad way. He lets you feel your consequences.
Absolutely.
And he does it for your own good.
He does. He does. And I think that we are wired as human beings to need a father. We are wired to need a father. That's just the way we are built. That's why the family unit is so important. And that's why the breakdown of fatherhood in culture is such a disaster. But it's not fatal. It's not fatal. We believe in a sovereign, good God who can redeem the most difficult circumstances. And it's worthy of note that when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. That's how he taught us to pray. We relate to God, yes, as a king, yes, as a creator, but we can relate to him as our Father. And it's often pointed out that the way Jesus said that was the word our Abba, A-B-B-A. It was a tender colloquial term like Papa or Daddy. I don't think anybody is ever so successful, sophisticated, or important that they don't need a heavenly father with whom they can relate as a daddy. That sense of being able to crawl up in a father's lap and say, I'm tired, I need help, I need strength. We were made, Glenn, I think we were made to receive that.
Tell me about the book, Because of Bethlehem. I'm just reading here, and I love this. Most of the players in the Christmas drama inspire us with our faith. This is about halfway through. Mary, who had great courage. Joseph, who was obedient. The shepherds, who came quickly and worshipped willingly. The wise men, who traveled far and gave generously. Most of the characters in Bethlehem drama behaved like heroes, but there was also one who played a role of a villain. Why is this important?
It is important. King Herod, you know, what a story. Here's a king who was 10 miles from Bethlehem, who had wise men come from a distant country saying that they perceived through the stars that something miraculous was happening, and it could be in the vicinity of where King Herod was. So he consults with his religious leaders. His religious leaders say, well, there is a prophecy in the Bible that says that the king will be born in Bethlehem. And I think King Herod was so power hungry, so jealous, that he couldn't bring himself to make the 10-mile hike to Bethlehem to see who this might be. And as we know, he actually ended up trying to kill the newborn Jesus because he tried to slaughter all the children in Bethlehem. He's really a picture in the book, Because of Bethlehem. I look at some of these characters and what they teach us, and I think that Herod is the picture of the man who is consumed by jealousy, by a lust for power, and how it just destroyed him, and how it prevented him from making what could have been a life-changing discovery in his life. And so, in the book, I look at some of these characters like Herod or Joseph or Mary, asking, what can they teach us this Christmas? Mm-hmm. What can they teach us? And I think he serves as a warning that we shouldn't let ourselves get so arrogant and prideful that we don't feel the need to take moments to explore what supernatural interventions God might be doing right next door to us.
You're not making these guys into movie stars. At one point towards the end, you write, Hollywood recast the Christmas story. Joseph's collar is way too blue. Mary is green from inexperience. The couple star power doesn't match the bill. Too obscure, too simple. Story warrants some headliners. Square-jawed Joseph, somebody like George Clooney. Mary needs a beauty mark and glistening teeth. Angelina Jolie-ish. What about the shepherds? Do they sing? If so, can we get Bono? I watched for the very first time, the Nativity story, I think, came out about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by how they cast everybody as simple, very young, it seemed very, very real to me. And when you cast the story that way, you really appreciate what Mary and I think especially Joseph did.
It's just a beautiful story, isn't it, Glenn? And it's so good for our spirit. I think it's good for our country right now, coming out of this difficult election, to let the Christmas story remind us that God loves every person, and he can use the simplest person. I can't imagine a person more simple than Mary. You know, she lived in a remote part of a remote country on the margin of the Roman Empire, and yet she would be entrusted with what we Christians believe is the greatest miracle of all, and that is to bring God into the world. And then there's Joseph. I mean, he apparently was a good guy, but he was a normal guy. He probably wouldn't have gone to the equivalent of an Ivy League college or been considered for Secretary of State or anything. He was just a regular old Joe. He was a Joseph. And yet God takes these normal folk like you and me, and he says, just trust me. I can do a miracle for you. I can do a miracle in you. I can do miracles with you. And I think we need this reminder. You know, as an increasingly secular society, we miss out on the surprises of God. We live with a mentality that says that all that exists is what we can hear or touch or see. But stories like Christmas remind us that Almighty God is up to something really good, and he's bringing it about in the right way, and he's using regular folk like us to accomplish his purpose, and that's a refreshing reminder.
I know we don't know this, but in your opinion as a man, how much of Mary and Joseph's life was spent, do you think, thinking, I don't know, maybe that was just a dream? I mean, because there were people. How much of their life was spent questioning whether or not this was true? Because they were still clean and dirty diapers and everything else. I mean, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we remember that right at the core of the Christian gospel is the Immaculate Conception. Mary, and I believe it. I do. I know people dismiss it and disregard it, but I believe it. And if it is true, then Mary knew it was a miracle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she would have known.
Mary knew. Mary didn't have as much of a problem as Joseph did.
Joseph could have struggled.
He could
have. I feel like the angelic appearances to Joseph. And then just the testimony, the loyalty of his precious Mary, maybe the appearance when they took Jesus to have him set apart in the temple at the age of 8 days, and he had that encounter with the people in the temple that said, now something's going on here, something special. There's no doubt he would have struggled. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, because we've never had angels appear to us, most of us, but we've all had moments where somebody has said, boy, something is special. And then there's times years later that you're like, I don't know. You get lost and you're like, I just don't know anymore. They are remarkable people because they were. The name of the book is Because of Bethlehem, Love is Born, Hope is Here. Max Lucado is our guest. He also has a Christmas coloring book out, which I didn't understand when I first saw them about 4 years ago. I'm like, oh, come on, are we really dumbing down? Adults need to color. I think it is one of the most relaxing and mind cleansing things you can do. Max, I appreciate it. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you, Glenn. All the very best.
Thank you very much. Max Lucado, again, the name of the book is Because of Bethlehem.
While we're on faith, can I give you a couple of kind of amazing stats?
Yes.
That just came out. What is the so in 1996, 8% of people identified as religiously without affiliation. Only 8%.
1996?
1996. Last 20 years, it's gone from 8% to 21%.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a huge increase from 8 to 21. The additional one, which is even more stunning to me, in 2011, 30% of evangelicals said someone who commits immoral acts could fulfill their office, could fill their duties in office. You know, it was kind of the Bill Clinton argument, right? Like, if you can't have a good personal life, you can't do your job.
2011.
11, it was 30% of evangelicals. 2016, 76%. From 30 to 76% in 5 years.
That's how it happened, right? That's how this happened.
And it's, I think
this, everybody jumped on the
Trump. Remember, what did I say? What did I say the first?
I think changed that. I mean,
what did I say the first hour? Faith, wow. Hope, and charity. They're all being taken down.
That's
incredible. We have to hold tight. Yeah. The world, I can't tell you how clear I am on Paulina and what she said to me in Auschwitz, that the world, the righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Humanity is going over a cliff, gang. Going over a cliff. We have to stand firm in our principles. And principles are hard to find. Let me tell you about Goldline. Principles are hard to find because everybody at the highest levels are violating them. What's happening at the Federal Reserve right now has never been done before in human history. At no time has anyone printed as much money as the United States of America has done. We have violated every monetary law in existence. This week, Federal Reserve, economists expect the Fed to raise interest rates for the first time in a year. Some expect inflation to pick up on its own. I don't know what's going to happen. If they start raising interest rates, it should prove to be interesting. I would ask that you don't listen to me, you don't listen to anybody else. You listen to your gut and you do your own homework. Goldline is the exclusive dealer for the first encapsulated square coin called the Legal Tender Unit. It's important for all kinds of reasons, but also as an investment. And now is the time to buy gold or silver. Buy with confidence with their price guarantee program. You can act now and ensure that you acquire the special gold bullion units available exclusively from Goldline. And for select purchases, you can actually basically ensure them that whatever you paid this year, next year, if the price is up, you can buy more at the lower price. If the price is down, you buy, make up that difference in gold. Only Goldline does this. Read their important risk information and find out if gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
So I'm going in to shoot a movie, which I've never been in before, today, this afternoon.
Yeah, pretty important stuff. You know, the Christmas holiday is here. And this Friday, the season finale of The Wonderful World of Stew. We will try to lighten, or, you know, lift people's spirits with a new Christmas movie. And you might say, wait a minute, it's a Christmas movie. How can you be shooting parts for it on the Monday of the week it airs?
Right.
That's a really good question that we're not going to
know. Well, I was going to ask that question.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's important. I mean, why are you being critical of Christmas?
Well, I was wondering was the quality of a movie that shoots on Monday for an air date on Friday.
Well, to be fair, most of it was shot last week. So, I mean, it's pretty high quality.
Okay, so double the amount of time.
Double the time.
Right. Now, the first movie, in air quotes, that you made was called The Christmas Twist.
Oh, yeah. Huge hit.
Classic. I mean, which I may say, I do believe, has been ripped off from this network.
Yes.
For
and
real.
It's for real. This is
a
real deal. It's a Hallmark movie now.
It's called The Christmas Cookie.
Huh?
Yes.
It's
almost Christmas cookies. It's the same thing.
It's the exact same plot almost.
It's unbelievable.
It's got to be one of the first times someone made a real movie out of a parody. It's like the exact reverse of how it's normally done.
I mean, we're glad they did it.
Yes.
It's fine.
Oh, thrilled.
We're not threatening lawsuits. We just want them to fess up. That's all we want.
We can give them a hug. I love the idea that they did it.
Right. Okay, so what the Christmas twist was a cookie. A girl makes this cookie. She's got her own cookie store. It's not going anywhere. The boyfriend is this big business guy and just railroads.
Wants her to sell the store. She doesn't want it because it's her dream. And it plays out in very, has every Lifetime or Hallmark movie plays out.
Right. They're mocking the Hallmark movies, and somebody went and took the Lifetime movie deal and said, we're going to make this less jokey about how bad these movies are and make a bad movie based on Stu's bad movie.
It's where it happened.
Yeah.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Welcome to the program. So today we're not filming the Christmas Twist, which is the Christmas Cookie. This is your follow-up movie.
Yeah, it's unrelated. It's making a sequel out of such a holiday classic as the Christmas Twist, I think is problematic in many ways, at least until we need the money. So this is a different movie. It's Christmas themed, obviously.
Right,
it's a
heartwarming Christmas. Now, it was originally scheduled for me to shoot this.
Yeah, last Tuesday.
On the stages,
last Monday or Tuesday? When was Nightline here? It was initially scheduled for you to shoot on the day that Nightline was here, and I said, you might want to move that. And they said, well, what about the next day? And I said, oh, when Samantha Bee is here? No, he's not taping on either of those days.
But it's a Christmas theme. What is the name of this?
The name of the movie?
Yeah.
It's about Christmas. It's got Christmas in the title.
What is the Christmas?
People know, they're interested, like, right away.
The Christmas house, the Christmas box, the Christmas present. The what?
Christmas icicle.
The Christmas icicle?
Close, yeah. That's close. It's close to that feel.
The Christmas...
The working title. I mean, obviously the whole thing's not even shot yet.
Yeah.
But, it's the Christmas icicle.
Icicicle?
Mm-hmm. The Christmas ISIS.
Misspell ISIS.
What exactly is the? What am I getting myself into for this movie of the week?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's going to last for generations. But
yes,
it's about a young man, entrepreneurial, looking for employment in the industry, looking for some seasonal employment.
Sure.
And gets interviewed at a. At a place that makes reindeer car antlers. You know the reindeer car antlers that they make? You see those on cars from time to time.
Well, did you shoot that actually at the factory?
It was a set.
All right.
Look, this is it's the theater of the mind,
except
you're seeing it.
Right.
He may have worked for a company called ISIS in his previous job.
Okay. But so is it the ISIS
So ISIS, that's the name of the company, Icicle. It kind of fits in with the Christmas theme because there's icicles at Christmas time because it's cold when water goes below 32 degrees.
I got the icicle, but I'm looking for the ISIS part.
Oh, okay. You're asking about that. Yeah, well, he has different goals than some of the other employees that work
there.
Okay. And he tries to work through those goals. It's an interesting way of how different cultures come together around Christmas to unite. And
it usually is like there's a bad guy and then there's a sweet girl that has been, you know, crushed with the Christmas, or a kid that has been crushed by the Christmas dream being crushed, and then there's miraculous ending, and that's usually what happens.
I think there is a miraculous ending, first of all. I would say definitely there's a miraculous ending, and I would say...
Would that miraculous ending involve continuing to have a job after letting this air on the network?
Well, look, I can't predict the future, obviously. If you can't get behind a story about different cultures coming together around the most holy of holidays, I don't see how. Right. And for both sides of this, they both are chasing what they believe Christmas should be all about. And that's at both sides of the equation. Mm. And I think that is what's really important around this.
You're selling me this as we can all get behind this. Would it be safer for me to say we can all get behind this and some should get behind something big and sturdy?
It might be if you were thinking about getting some personal protection, now might be
the time. Okay, all right. And that airs this Friday.
Yes, assuming you actually shoot your part today.
May I ask, do I have to wear a beard?
Would you like to wear a beard?
No, I'm just asking, and would it be a white beard, or would it definitely not be a white beard?
You haven't even decided if you're going to wear a beard yet.
I'm just wondering if the part I'm playing, because I haven't even read the part yet.
You don't need to read it. You're going to see it. It'll be on the property when you get on set.
So when I see it and I get into makeup, am I a jolly old elf? Mm. Or am I a bearded man for an entirely different reason?
First of all, when it comes to the color of the beard, I don't see color. I mean, that's not how I am.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not that kind of person.
Okay. Okay. We're going to leave it at that. We'll see it on Friday.
Yes.
Christmas Icicle.
Icicle. Mm-hmm. Christmas. Pat is in it, joined by Pat Gray, a very important part. Jeff Fisher. Also appears.
Does he play the thing that I should crawl behind?
No, he's a
shield of sort.
He could be a human shield. Be a human shield.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. This
going to be probably even more classic than the Christmas twist was. Right?
Which I would like evidence tomorrow because you both are convinced. I have not seen the Hallmark movie or the Lifetime movie. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see the Christmas movie because everybody who's seen it and has seen the Christmas twist say it is the same story.
It's the same plot. It's really the same plot. Exactly the same, just done in a serious way when we were playing it for comedy. Yeah, that's all it is. I just want him to admit it. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also another one at Hallmark I just saw over the weekend, and I've never seen this in its entirety. But it's another one where the girl owns a shop. Only it's not a cookie shop. It's an antique. I think it's been in her family for generations. It was handed down from her father from her grandfather to her father, I think, and then from her father to her. And it means so much to her.
And she's struggling.
And she's struggling. Of course
she's going to lose it.
Well, and there's a guy who's trying to buy the entire strip mall.
Oh, no, I bet he's good looking.
I don't know what he looks like, but her boyfriend is the one who's trying to negotiate the sale for her. Okay, the rich boyfriend. Okay. Anyway, she's going to be
the rich boyfriend, why doesn't he just save the shop and just say, don't worry about struggling.
No, that's unclear to me. I think he wants her to have something of hers. I don't think he wants to completely take care of her. He just wants to do the deal for her, and then it's really her deal.
He's a little bit on the greedy side.
A little on the greedy
side. He's losing sight of maybe the holiday.
A little on the snarky side. He's not the warm, fuzzy boyfriend you'd maybe like
he's
to see.
He's not like
her.
The, and I don't mean to talk down to these movies, like the stereotypical kind of Scrooge character, is he?
I don't think he's along the lines of Scrooge. He's just less Christmassy than maybe you'd like for her.
Okay.
Sometimes you lose sight.
He sends her to his hometown to meet his family, which she's never met before. And at the airport, her luggage gets lost.
Oh, no.
And as she's looking for her luggage, she miraculously runs into...
An old boyfriend?
Her future brother-in-law. Okay? Her fiancé's brother is there to pick her up at the airport. He brings her home.
Is he a nice guy?
They spend several days together.
And he's like really father.
Oh, Christmas. He's a wonderful guy. This is a really good, handsome guy.
Oh, boy.
This guy's really into Christmas. He's got a family super into Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Finally, the fiancé comes home. Oh, it's not her fiancé. It was a different family with the same exact name as the family she was hoping to be with for Christmas.
Wait a minute.
What?
Hold on just a second. In this small town.
It's a small town.
There were two families with the same names.
Apparently the brothers had the same names.
And they were both getting married at the same time.
Apparently both fiancés were coming to the house.
Oh my gosh. What happened to the other fiancé?
The other fiancé. When the brother comes home and she realizes... I don't know who this guy is. Well, then obviously she calls the fiance and he's on his way. And so she leaves the house. And she goes, I mean, it's only a couple blocks away to the other house.
Yeah, I did see this one.
You did see this one?
Oh, my classic. Gosh, this sounds really good. Really good.
They're all good.
She goes to the other house.
We've got to do one next meet the, year. We have to shut down, I don't know, the entire TV division and just... spend a year on that.
I mean, how hard can it be? These are so preposterous.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They came up with 19.
I mean, so good. So good. And they put you in the spirit.
Right.
So she goes to the other family who she's supposed to be with. And, of course, none of them are into the holiday.
It's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite. They're busy with work.
They have our lives to live.
They don't even spend time together in the same room. Necessarily, they're off doing their own thing. Right. She finally brings them together for a game where they tell each other what they like about each other, but the things they like about one another are so superficial, she can't abide it. She can't abide it. And then the last straw is when the fiancé boyfriend says, I got a surprise for you. You're a millionaire. And then he goes and explains it to her privately in the room. He has worked the deal out to sell her shop to the guy who wants to buy her strip mall. For $3.5 million. Now she's
be set for life.
How dare he?
Right.
She doesn't want that deal.
Right. She wants the other guy and the other family.
It's not about money. That's right.
Now, the other guy and the other family, what would really be special is if their fiance, his fiance, had met the other family and kind of fell in love, maybe this is a sequel, with the other guy.
That would be kind of cool.
And she fell in love, so it was like a Christmas wife swap.
Yeah, I think it is one of Jeffy's movies.
That would probably be a bad name for it. But it
probably
like,
would be. Christmas wife swap doesn't sound Christmassy.
Or the Christmas twist. Just saying. All right. Here's our sponsor this half hour, LifeLock. Officials are warning of increased identity theft if we move through this holiday season. Are you prepared? Well, the good thing is... we know absolutely positively Russia is not targeting us. Aren't you guys glad to hear that?
I'm glad.
Do we? Because it seems like the intelligence agencies...
only 17 of them.
They seem to be all agreeing on that it happened, but not agreeing on the reason for it.
But only 17 of them. We have our president-elect who says none of this is happening.
I will say it is a little frustrating to hear the media touting how sure we are on intelligence after them berating every person who thought the Iraq intelligence was legitimate. And then we got Bush lied. They died for multiple years. You can't just trust intelligence. Now we're supposed to trust intelligence. I can't keep track of the way these guys flip sides of these things. But yes, it is ridiculous. We should obviously take that really seriously. When Russia's clearly trying to influence our...
Yeah, I would just like to point out, I believe Ted Kennedy, back in the 80s, wanted Russia to interfere with our election. Didn't he? He was so afraid that our relationship that he went over and wanted Russia to get involved in our politics. Look that up. I think that's what it was. Now, of course, I mean, you know, it'd be treasonous to do that. But when Ted Kennedy did it, it was okay. And now, of course, it's the worst thing ever. Anyway, identity theft, fastest growing crime in America. Identity thieves use your information to pretend that they're you. They buy the things on your credit card, they liquidate your bank accounts, and even get your retirement funds. That's why I have LifeLock, and Pat and I both have LifeLock. We're members, and we've had these phone calls. If they find something going on, somebody opening an account, using our identity someplace, you get a phone call, you get an email alert, and you have a live human being on the other end, and you say, no, that's not me. And the best thing is they help you clean it up. They have a U.S.-based team that helps you clean these things up. And right now you get a 15% discount on your membership. Call LifeLock.com, 1-800-440-4936. Use the promo code BECK15. You're going to save 15% on your membership. BECK15, a sale ends October 31st. Promo code BECK15, 1-800-440-4936. That's 1-800-440-4936.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com. Mercury.
Beck.
Peter is watching these Hallmark specials and Lifetime special. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
How are you?
Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Morning. Go ahead.
Yes, my wife and I started doing this about 5 or 6 years ago, and we watched these things. Some of them are just absolutely horrible. Okay, 95% of them are absolutely horrible.
You mean
the commercial break?
Yeah.
If they don't make it to the first commercial break, we just move on because there's 9 other ones on the TiVo ready to go.
Yep.
Yes, we do TiVo, so we don't have to watch the commercial, and we just kind of it's. I just had a knee surgery, so all weekend long. I had my leg up, and we just watched cheese after cheese after cheese. We just call it Christmas cheese.
You know, I have to tell you, there is there's a huge market for this.
That's why they do 19 a year.
Hallmark added a channel this year.
Yeah,
the marketing, the commercials is definitely to a different demographic. It's definitely an older demographic it's going to.
But they're just so good, and like I love how, and you could tell it's towards older people that I think they believe can't. Like follow the scripts or follow the plots.
What?
For example, Christmas Cookie is a good example of this.
5 minutes to write one of these shows.
Yeah, it's literally Christmas Cookie is a good example.
Thanks,
of this.
Peter.
To make sure you understand what's going on, they name the town where the Christmas Cookie Factory is Christmas Jar. Okay,
yeah.
So you know this is the Christmassy town. Okay. On top of that, they name the evil food company, the national food company that's coming in to buy the Christmas, they name that company National Foods. Okay, just so you're 100% sure you understand the dynamic here. Then there's like there's an exchange at the end where like the woman is finally like getting the, you know, she's getting the man and they're coming together and finally having this relationship as you
and
expect.
It's
from
always the CEO that she's in love with that
from minute one, yeah. You know this is going to happen. It ends.
Thank you, Peter.
And you know the first boyfriend will never be the one she winds up with.
Right. And so she says, he says, "Did you get what you wanted this Christmas?" And he replies, she replies, "I did. More Christmases just like this.
Wait.
With you." Like, we got it. We didn't need to explain it three different ways. We understand they're together.
Glenn